Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Fandom Access Weekend Review. I am your ever faithful host. Greetings and salutations. So, really short show tonight. Doctor Who Manifest, and I think ladies are going to briefly discuss Lock and Key, which we'll go into more depth next week. So, here is my first co-host. Maybe. So, there we go. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you this fine evening? And here comes Jamie.
Oh, I'm good. Hi, Jamie.
Hello.
Hi, can you guys hear me okay? Hi.
Yeah, you sound great.
Okay, because I'm on earbuds. All right.
Sound good.
Okay, good. So, I don't know. The only thing I've seen other than Lock and Key is Doctor Who. Did you get through any Lock and Key, Karen?
I've seen two episodes of Lock and Key, episode 1 and 2.
Okay, cool.
And then we have Doctor Who and we have Manifest, and that's it this week. That's all it was on.
Short week.
Yep, we're in a lull. So.
Short couple of weeks.
Yeah.
That's true.
You want to start with Doctor Who, as we often do?
That's fine with me. So, why don't you tell me first what you thought?
I thought what I texted you in the middle of the show, which was that was some weird shit going on this week on Doctor Who.
This is true.
It was like really like, I mean, the story was weird. The aliens were weird. Stuff that happened was weird. That was that weird cartoon segment in the middle of it.
Kiki.
It was
sorry, my dog is barking.
That's okay. I mean, I think it was not the best episode of Doctor Who that I've ever seen. Partly because I was kind of disappointed when it was revealed that aliens who feed on human fear is something that I feel like has been done to death on so many different shows, right? I feel like we've seen it on Doctor Who maybe more than once.
That's true.
I've seen it on a lot of, I don't know, maybe Star Trek, one of the Star Treks, I'm not sure, but I felt like it was not a terribly original idea. And I thought the resolution was kind of like all of a sudden, bingo, they're like trapped again. That happened all rather abruptly. So it just wasn't the best episode of Doctor Who, really, ever. And it was probably the worst episode of the current Doctor, I think.
Really? See, I liked it. I thought it was kind of creepy. I mean, I agree it wasn't the best one in the storyline. You're right. They have done that before. And it did get resolved awful quickly. But I don't know. I liked it better than last week, since I wasn't a big fan of last week's. Last week was the plastic in our body or whatever, where they were killing the planet, killing ourselves type thing. I don't know. I liked it as like sort of I guess it is sort of horror, but obviously it's not really scary per se horror. But I liked the idea, and it was kind of like a dream thing. Although after like watching it more than once, there are quite a few things that kind of didn't make a lot of sense to me, and I think I had written you about it. I don't even remember now, but I like the overall idea, even though it was done before. And I thought the whole finger thing was kind of creepy, but at the same time, like hilarious in only a way Doctor Who does. So I didn't mind that.
I think that might be when I texted you, when the guy's finger went in the first guy's ear. I was like, what the hell are we watching? What is going on Doctor Who?
Yeah. Yeah. Although I thought that was Ryan in the first part. I don't know why. I didn't realize that was his friend. I thought he was like standing over his body or something outside of the dream. So I totally misunderstood that the first time. But the one thing, now granted, the first time I saw this, it didn't have captions, and sometimes it's hard to hear. And I had missed part of the conversation that Yaz had with her sister. And I got by the end and now understood that they were, I guess my take on it was they were celebrating the time that she decided not to run away because that cop talked to her. But what I don't understand is if the nightmares were just like random nightmares, because it was my understanding they were supposed to be like their deepest fear, right? And okay, I understand Graham had cancer. He fears having cancer again. That makes total sense to me. I understand Ryan fearing that he leaves the people he cares about behind and they die because he's not there. Although why he would choose a friend that we don't know anything about is beyond me. But I kind of get that. But why your fear would be something that could have happened, I don't understand, because that already ended differently. That woman already did save her. So why would you have a nightmare about if she hadn't saved her? You know what I'm saying? Like, that part to me just as like a fear didn't make any sense whatsoever. And I'm glad they showed backstory and everything, but I just didn't get, I don't know, I just didn't get it, that part with the
I don't know. And then how come Tahira's on another show that I watched. Tahira, her greatest fear is monsters, right? But why did her greatest, like, she's got a greatest fear that came to life. Like, her greatest fear came to life and, like, killed all these people and was sort of a, and then was on the spaceship. And everyone else's fear, I felt like, was more like a hallucination, or like they experienced it in their mind, everyone else, right? Like,
yeah, I took it that just he took the creature from her nightmare. I guess when he saw her nightmare, he was like, liked it, I guess. But I think she was also maybe the first one he saw on the planet. That wasn't really clear, but I know that it came from her. But I don't think they were supposed to be killing the people. I think they were grabbing the people to take them to the ship. They were just kind of like the way they were abducted. At least that's what I took out of it. It was very loose. I mean, the episode wasn't explicit on certain things, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, now that we're talking about it, I'm remembering a recent time, not recent time, but I remember when when the Matt Smith doctor and Clara were in a hotel, people were trapped in a hotel and their nightmares were like coming to life in the hotel.
In a hotel? You mean
it was a motel. All the rooms had numbers on it. And then it turned out that it was an alien that looked kind of like
that.
A minotaur and it was actually a prison.
Yeah, and that was their fears. You're right. But see, that was their fears. This was sort of a dream thing. But that's what I said. Their nightmares seemed to be random nightmares. And the other thing that confused me is I thought that the one time Ryan saw his friend, it was like an old guy. I think that was supposed to be his nightmare was like that was him. And like he had, you know, grown up and survived the end or was, you know, dying during the end of the earth or whatever, and he wasn't there. But yet they showed that same guy looking out the window at that woman after. So I didn't quite get that, because his friend wouldn't have really been old. That was part of the nightmare. So I didn't understand that either. There were just kind of these loose things that I don't know if I missed something or they just weren't explained.
Yeah.
I don't know. When I first watched it, I liked it as kind of a creepy episode. But the more I dissected it, the more I find things that don't make sense.
Don't hold together.
So
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and the doctor, I mean, we had another alien that the doctor's never heard. Like, every alien that we've seen, pretty much the doctor's never heard of, except for, like, the Judon a couple weeks ago. But, and even, like, you know, I don't know, like, I guess I'm more used to the doctor, like, running into aliens, but the doctor's at least, like, oh, I've heard of these guys, or the Sonic tells her, or whatever. I mean, she keeps running into these aliens. Now, these two are immortals who are from a very far away part of the universe, I think, right? But the doctor, I don't know, they seem to be, and they were like, they were just like mean for the sake of being mean, right? Like they were,
they were
evil because they were bored. This was a weird episode.
Seems like
there
was an opportunity, though, to talk more about the timeless child, and they just kind of, I guess,
oh, yeah, we
that
saw the timeless child for a second.
Watch later, because they didn't really say anything about it. Because
that was the doctor's nightmare, right? Which is funny. It's funny to me. It's not funny, but it's interesting to me that the doctor's nightmare is like the master is talking, and we see the timeless child. So it's interesting, because does that mean the doctor knows who the timeless child is? But I'm thinking a little bit out loud, but really what was interesting about it was that the doctor's nightmare is not a destroyed Gallifrey. Like, I felt sure what the doctor would see in her nightmare would be the burning Gallifrey, right? and that's not what she
saw.
That's
why
she sees
this,
like,
seem to be weird, random nightmares to me.
Yeah,
if you think of it that
way,
it makes slightly more sense, but it doesn't make sense they'd make an episode about that. I don't know. That's why I said the more I think about it, the more it doesn't make sense. So, you know, on the outside of it, just enjoying it for what it was, I liked it. But it just has a lot of points that don't make a lot of sense. So, but I did like that they gave Graham more to do. And, I mean, they kind of embellished all their characters, I guess, some. But he at least, you know, had a different part of it and was more important to the story for once, which was nice.
Yeah.
But, and I mean, him being scared of being sick makes perfect sense. Although I was kind of disappointed that the doctor had like no advice to make him feel better, you know, like, I know it was supposed to be a joke, but the doctor should still be like, hey, you know, you're alive or whatever. I don't know, some kind of, not necessarily speech, but just could have said something. I don't know that part.
This,
it was kind of questioning.
This doctor, this 13th doctor, is not very good at communicating or showing her friendship. Like, we've seen repeatedly that the companions are like, we don't know anything about you. And they seem this week to be a little bit, like, unsure even of their friendship. They're like, is this what it's going to be like? And, you know, I feel like this version of the doctor is very closed off emotionally and not, like, I mean, not showing, like, I mean, I feel like Amy knew the doctor loved her, and Clara knew the doctor loved her, and Rose and Martha and all of Rory, they all knew Donna that the doctor loved them. And these gang, like, kind of don't know where they stand with the doctor, and the doctor's not good at showing her loyalty and friendship to these people.
Yeah. I kind of feel like the conversation that Yaz had with Ryan at the end is sort of foreshadowing that maybe they're not going to all be there next year.
There's too many of them.
Yeah, I agree. But
Now I'm not remembering the conversation exactly that they had.
I'm pretty sure it was this episode, but it was when Ryan was saying things like, you know, they're leaving their family behind and that to go exploring.
Oh,
and she's like, well, the doctor can bring you back at any point. And he's like, yeah, but we've aged, we've changed. And he's like, well, she told us we've changed. I don't know. I just kind of got the feeling that Ryan's not so sure about this anymore.
Well,
I don't know.
I do. You know what? Now you're making me remember that there was a point where, like, Ryan was like, he did sort of say, or maybe he didn't say, but I got the feeling that he was kind of like, wow, I've been away and I didn't know my friend. Like, his friend's in crisis. His friend basically is suicidal, right? He's, like, suicidally depressed or extremely depressed. And, like, Ryan had no idea. And Ryan, I mean, you could definitely see that Ryan, like, felt the consequence of him being away so much. So that's an interesting theory, Jamie. I wouldn't mind. I think I said to you before, I kind of feel like maybe there are too many companions because they just don't all get screen time. They don't all always have something to do, basically. Sometimes they don't have enough to do.
And because there's too many, but the thing is it's funny, you know, I have liked the companions and that, but I realized that I think the parts that I've liked most about, like, the reason I've liked this season the most are more, like, the storylines and the shock points, not actually the characters. And thinking about that is kind of a problem. So I don't know. I mean, thinking about it, I would think that probably next year could be her last year. I don't know. Usually I was thinking Capaldi was, like, did three, but I think he quit sooner because he wanted to. I don't know, because he was tired or something. I can't remember. So she's probably got a year, maybe 2 years after this. So I don't know. I could see the companions changing. They do usually get a couple companions throughout the time. I could see even maybe, like, just Graham staying with her because they both have lives and families. He doesn't. I mean, he has Ryan.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I could just see, like, him staying and them not. I just think it's not that they're not good characters. It's just, we said this before, like, there's so much split up that there's not enough for all of them. And it's just not. It's taking away from
much. And I think you, like, just made an incredibly important point when, you know, that, like, that what you were saying before, now I'm not going to be able to paraphrase it correctly, but the idea that, like, you're not filling the characters and that's really a problem, like, usually the doctor's friendship with the companion is, like, the center of the story, right? That should be your favorite part.
That's
the center of the whole story.
I love the mythology. I love what he's doing, like, you know, making crazy moves and everything, but that should not be the only highlight. That's not good. So
Because, like, I mean, I'm just thinking of so many previous Doctor Who stories that really, like there's a good there's a good monster of the week or a good mystery in action, but it always ends up having something to do with, like, the relationship, you know, like I'm thinking of, like, when Amy got stuck on that moon for, like, 36 years and she aged to be, like, 60 years old, even though it was only, like, a minute for the Doctor, right? And we'll remember that one. And she, like, hated the Doctor so much right then. And, there, I mean, there's been, or, you know, when Danny got killed, like, there have been so many times when the companion and the Doctor's relationship is, like, so affected by the monster of the week. And we just don't really see
kind
that.
Of like, I hate to say this, because, like I said, I do like Jodie. I mean, I don't dislike her.
Oh, no.
There's not, I feel like some of it they're not giving her enough. Like, it's not her fault. I feel like a lot of it's just, there's not enough good, you know, good meat to the story. But thinking about it, like, I don't really care about that character. You know what I mean? Like, whenever Peter Capaldi was leaving, like, I was like, no, I don't want him to leave. I don't want him to cry. And now it's kind of like, it's not that I don't like her, but if she left and somebody else came in right now, I wouldn't really be affected, not just actor-wise, but I mean character-wise. Like, I'm not super invested in what happens to the Doctor or really her companions, if I'm honest. Not like I should be anyway.
No,
so,
and I think the problem is Chibnall, is what Chibnall and the writers are doing hasn't come together for us. Maybe there are viewers out there who are loving it, but definitely you and I are, like, you know, not totally in tune with what Chibnall's doing.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they spent a lot of time trying to make us like this Doctor because, you know, it was the first woman and all this. And I don't think that's why I'm having problems. I don't mean that. But I feel like they spent so much time, like, overcoming that fact and trying to prove to people that it would work and that a lot of this stuff was sacrificed. And this year, it's like they're spending so much time on these crazy stories, which, again, I love. But it's not, it's kind of disjointed from everything else. They need to spend time on character development.
Yeah, there are things I like about this Doctor, but yeah, she's not. I mean, there are ways in which, I mean, I hate to say this, but that the other Doctor that we met 2 weeks ago, I kind of want to learn more about her, which everyone does, but like she has a more charismatic personality like I'm accustomed to with the Doctor.
That's why I think
she would have
made a good Doctor.
I just don't like what the writers are doing with this Doctor as much as I want to. Look, I want to really like her. I want the first female Doctor to be a success. But I think it's the storytelling that's
I don't think it's because she's
problem.
A female. I think it's just not working.
It's not writing.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't love. Yeah.
All right.
There's only one more episode before the 2-hour finale, right? Or it's 2 hours or it's two parts, the finale. I forget which.
I think it's two parts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited because I wanted to keep going. I feel like it just started and it could, you know, waiting for it to have those good episodes. But the season's always so short. It's kind of like, you know, it's going to have. And I think the other problem is they took so long again to bring it back. That doesn't help.
I don't know how English people can deal with their television. Like, you know, this is British TV. The series have not that many episodes. And they tend to be a long time in between.
They're written better, though, usually. I mean, that's compared to a lot of
it says
of
what it
shows.
Is, but yeah.
Yeah, not all.
But,
always,
you know.
Like, yeah, but I just mean in general.
Yeah.
They spend more time on it.
But, yeah. But all their shows are so short. So, all right.
Yeah, I agree. Okay.
All right.
I guess that's
so
it.
I think we about
we'll
covered it, huh? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Well, you want to move on to Lock and Key? We'll just briefly talk about.
Yeah. So we'll talk a little Lock and Key. I know AJ hasn't watched it yet. I don't know. I think AJ has read the comic books, or graphic novels, whatever you want to call it. And this was written by Joe Hill, who I guess also wrote Nosferatu, right? Didn't Joe Hill write Nosferatu?
Mm-hmm.
And so it dropped
Stephen
Friday
King's
on Netflix.
Yes.
Yeah. So Stephen King. And it dropped Friday on Netflix, and you've seen the whole thing. What is it, 10? How many is it?
I want to say 10, I believe. I'm not 100% sure, but yeah, I think it's 10. But yeah, I saw it all before it came on, so I had already seen it. All right.
I've seen two episodes.
All right. So we won't go too far, but just, I guess, for anybody who doesn't know, and if you don't want any spoilers, you might want to not listen, but we won't go deep into spoilers. But so the overall story is that these kids' father is murdered, and they inherit his house he grew up in, and the mother takes the kids there, and of course they're not happy about it. But in the house they go to, Key House, there's these keys that are hidden, which are, I guess you could say, magical keys. They each have sort of a power, which can do things that are good or bad. Some of them kind of depend how they're used. And the thing is too, that I like about it is, as much as it's got that kind of fantasy aspect, a lot of it also is more character based, because a lot of it is the kids kind of using the keys to help their own lives, you know, in ways that they think will help. And of course don't always do good, but but they do start using the keys, but yeah, I mean, the keys have awesome powers, and they a lot of times do help them, sometimes they don't, and just kind of, that's a lot of the story, and trying to find out what the keys do and what they mean. And then the other part is them trying to, I don't know, how much do you know yet about the girl from the well? Because I don't want to spoil too much. I'm trying to think how much you know.
Well, so for people who haven't seen it, I'd say there's a, it's not clear if she's a ghost, if she's a witch. There's some sort of magical person that so it seems to be centered on the youngest kid so far, possibly because in the first two episodes, at least, he's still home from school, and the teenagers have to go to school and don't have time to search the house for a bunch of keys. But
yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
The youngest kid, who's like 8 or 9, looks to be the central character in the mystery. And he encounters this, at first I thought she was a ghost, but she could be a witch. I'm not really sure. But anyway, she, wants the key. She's not all that she appears to be. She knows about the keys. She knows a lot more about the keys, but she's not maybe forthcoming with the information.
I think it's fair to say that she wants the keys, and they're kind of trying to stop her and keep her from the keys.
She wants the keys, and she can't find them as easily. This show is lighter than I expected it to be. I didn't really know what to expect.
Yeah,
I haven't read the graphic novel. And
yeah,
I don't know
and
how scary
lighter,
it would
and
be.
And I believe it's lighter than the comics, too, from what I understand. It's more of a family. Now, I don't want to say family show. Sometimes you say that, and it's like, oh, it's a kid. You know, it's not. It's still a show you can enjoy, and it's not just a kid show. But it is, you know, somebody's thing that everybody can watch. It's a family show. It's not really scary. It's not too much
into
that.
It has bad words in it. It has cursing in it. So
that's
I would
true.
Say, you know,
and it has
that's the one
the
thing.
Little kids flipping people off. But it's not a story kids, you know, younger people can't watch. And it is a good story. And I do believe the comics were darker. I'm kind of curious how it would have played out differently if it was a darker show. But regardless of that, it is a really good show, and it's got really good characters. So, and it's fun to kind of learn what each of the keys are as they're revealed.
I was surprised. I didn't know there would be an Ashmore brother in it. And when he appeared in the first episode, I thought, Aaron Ashmore's in it. And I knew that was Aaron. I can tell him apart.
I know. I can, too.
I couldn't always, but I can now. But
I
when he, I didn't know he was.
It makes a difference, but.
I didn't know he was going to be in it. Yeah, meeting them in person kind of helps. But I wasn't sure if it was going to be a little bit of stunt casting. Like, I guess I've gotten jaded by shows that put a popular actor or an actor I like, and they're only in the first episode. Like, in the first episode, he's like, I'd like you to meet this. Here's your new house. Here's the keys. And I thought it was a bit of a stunt, but he's in the second episode also.
He's here and there throughout the season.
I like what kind of the way they've set the show up. So, it begins, the father has been murdered and they've moved east to start a new life or whatever. But the father appears in a lot of flashbacks as we learn more about, we didn't even know he was murdered. Like, at first, he's just dead. And you learn through flashbacks that he was killed and how he was killed. And, you know, I kind of like the way they're using the flashbacks to flesh out the character development and like remind us what they've all been through, and like I think they're using it at least through two episodes in a good way.
Yeah, they kind of do that somewhat throughout, and I agree, it is a good way that they're telling the story, because even though he's dead, he's an important character, he's just an important part of what's going on, and the house and everything, and there's kind of like this, without going into it and saying anything, there's kind of like a rich backstory, there's stuff that's important in that time that will come to light, that's kind of all part of the mystery of the keys and everything else.
Yeah.
But that starts more as you get further into the show. But I mean, some of it is kind of the, you know, teen drama too at the same time, but I think it's a good balance and done well. My phone just made a really weird noise. Sorry, I don't know what
sorry,
it was.
Sorry, I might have made some noise. It's a common horror trope, like someone dies, you inherit a house, and then it turns out to be a haunted house, which I'm not saying that this is a haunted house, but that's sort of a common thing, right? And then you're like, wish your dead relative would have told you all this shit before you moved into the house they left you, and that's sort of where we are in the outset. But
I think
we're good.
But it's definitely it's not just that. I mean, not at all. So
It seems to be well made. The child actors are all likable. The actors in general so far are all likable, or at least good actors. Even like, I mean, a lot of it in the first episode takes place in the high school, and there is like a lot of this like, are you fitting in your new school stuff? Which, we're adults, and so we need to get invested in that somehow. I'm showing my age because I'm like, God, these kids are like drinking and smoking a lot of pot. It's like the first day in school, in your new school, and he like goes to a party, drinks shots. He's about to have sex with this girl. Like I was like, why all these teenagers move fast in this town? And then it's like shoplifting. On his second day, they shoplift beer, right? Like,
yeah.
So I guess I was really showing my age watching this teen drama, because they probably do that in Riverdale also.
Yeah, that I don't know about.
But I don't know. Yeah. It's pretty good. I'm definitely going to watch more of it, probably all of it. There's no reason for me to not, like, especially with it being bingeable, you know, to just watch through
and
it.
And it definitely starts to move, like, faster. And not that it's not, I don't mean it like it's, you know, super slow or anything, but as you get more into the story, it gets in more into the mystery and more into everything kind of going on at once. And it's good. It's like I said, it's a mystery. It's a family drama or a teen drama to some extent, but it's still, I mean, it didn't bother me. It wasn't like teen drama that like I was really annoyed with and didn't want to see. It was good. So,
I mean, I think AJ will join us again in a second, but this seems to me like a show that AJ is going to watch with his son, Artie, who's 14, right?
Yeah.
Like, this seems like a perfect AJ and Artie show. Actually, it might not be good enough for Artie. He has some very good taste for a 14-year-old kid. He likes all the shows we like, and he has a pretty sophisticated outlook, because his father raised him on Lost and other shows.
Good,
but
that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminded me. I remembered something in a video that made me laugh, which I'll get to in a second. But I feel like there has to be purposeful in-jokes in this show. They said it in the same first episode, and they say it again later. This isn't a spoiler. Just they say Killjoy twice. I feel like that's got to be a joke. It just made me laugh each time.
Oh, do they?
Did they
say someone's a Killjoy?
Yeah. I mean, there's another time later on they say something about that. Somebody, I don't even remember the circumstance. It wasn't like it was important, but I'm like, that's got to be a joke. But no, but I laughed because if people look, I put up, trying to think, I'm pretty sure that's one of the videos I put up. I don't remember exactly which ones we got up yet. But for anybody who doesn't know and hasn't looked at the site, Christian had gone to, I still don't know how to pronounce her name right, and gone to LA to, and this is what I was talking about before that I couldn't talk about.
They'd gone to LA to
the Netflix press day thing, and they had like a lock and key presentation and told a lot of different things about the show and some of the design and things. And those are slowly like the first three videos I have up are up now, and hopefully I'm going to get some more up tomorrow. But they're different interviews with you know, Joe Hill and I hate hate when I do that. Like, sometimes I just can't remember names. Like, I can see his face. Carlton Cuse.
Carlton Cuse held the show for television, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of the showrunners. And Meredith Averill, I guess you pronounce it. And I'm doing it again. Gabriel Rodriguez, who was also worked on the comic. And so there was a panel and they had some Q&A things. But it just reminded me, because I can say that, I mean, they tell some of the keys early anyway, but you know, the first episode has the anywhere key. And now the camera had moved. I'm pretty sure it was Joe Hill that said it, but I can't tell for sure because she had moved the camera. But somebody asked, I think, where their key would, no, not, I take that back. It wasn't the anywhere key, it's the head key. And asked where they would be. And I won't go into what that does, but I still the joke. And he was saying something, and he's like, I know where Carlton would be. He'd still be stuck on the damn island.
Oh, he made a lot of funny.
So if you watch it, you'll laugh. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's kind of a little thing. But yeah, so anyway, if people want to know more, they should check out the videos, and we're going to have more of the interviews.
Yeah, actually, I haven't checked that out, and now that I've watched the show a little bit, I will.
Yeah, yeah. There are definitely some small spoilers if you haven't watched it, because it does talk about what the keys do, although that stuff was released, you know, before the show anyway. But if you want to be completely surprised, you know, I'd say wait a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, I want to be – I don't know, but I imagine – one way this could go would be that every week they would find a new key. Every episode they might find a new key and figure out what it does. I don't want to be spoiled on the keys, right? So I'm going to stay away from headlines until I blow through the whole thing.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I don't know that knowing the keys will ruin it for you, but, you know, that's kind of a personal preference. To me, it didn't really matter.
Yeah.
I had actually, I guess, seen more of it without think, you know, because I had without really thinking about it. But anyway, that's really the only, it's not spoilery other than that. But what was I going to say now? That's my track of thought. Oh, but there are, it seems like, a lot more keys, I think, in the comics than are in the show. And there's definitely room for a second season, which I hope they have. But there was so much trouble getting this show made to begin with. I don't know if you know
what the show went through
on,
quite
like,
a long
yeah quite a
television,
different
yeah.
iterations and finally yeah. Netflix took it. So I do hope they have another season, because it's good, and that the mythology is very interesting, and I do kind of want to go read the comic, but I think I'll wait and see if there's a second season first, because I'm like that with other things. Like, I want to know what happens, but at the same time I don't want to ruin the show experience, you know, because I started with that.
All right, so we're going to watch it. I'm going to watch it, and I know AJ has plans. Oh, no, I washed my chapstick. Sorry, I'm folding my laundry, and I washed my chapstick. AJ plans to watch it. AJ plans to watch it also, so I think we'll give it a week, and then we'll cover it in greater depth next week, right?
Right, right. And then soon Walking Dead comes back, too. Was my other
February 23rd, I think, yeah.
Yeah, because I've seen two of those. There's one thing I know we'll be discussing on the show, but I don't want to say anything other than that.
All right.
I can't reveal anything, but that's coming soon too.
All right.
And that's it. Other than stuff that you whoops that you guys don't watch.
So I don't know. Is AJ there? AJ, are you there?
I'm here. I am.
Okay. AJ, you guys have fun. I'm gonna go put AJ, a heating pad on my neck. It's killing me.
Okay. Were you napping, AJ?
No, I was doing other things while you guys were talking.
Okay. Have you read Lock and Key?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you haven't? Because I thought Jamie mentioned this has been a torturous road to get the show made, and I thought I remembered you kind of being excited that it was coming maybe a couple years ago, but maybe that's someone else.
I had always meant to read it. I just never did. But the concept of it,
and they even have
like a lot of fun. So,
it's good to watch. Okay, well, guys, have a good night. I will.
All right, good night.
Next week.
Good night, Jamie.
Okay.
See you next week.
Bye bye. Bye bye.
All right. Good night, Jamie.
You gonna watch it with Artie? Did you hear me say I thought it was an AJ and Artie show?
Yeah, I did hear that part.
Yeah. Well, because it's teenagers, you know. There's a lot of teenagers in it. But he may already be past it.
He's already made it through season one of Continuum, and
his taste is way beyond other 14-year-olds. His taste is way beyond most adults we know who won't most adults we know didn't watch Continuum. So yeah.
This is true.
So
anyway.
All right, so that brings us to Manifest.
Unfortunately.
So I felt like maybe 10 minutes into the show I kind of figured out what's going on here in the police department. And I texted you to see if you'd watched it because like taking your Jared theory and watching this, I mean, I think I know who the mole is, don't you?
Well, I think it's Jared.
Oh, no. So after you last week speculated that Jared's undercover, I think Michaela's new partner, who seems Miss Oh So Helpful and I've Got Your Back, is going to be the mole.
We know that Jared is the one that tipped them off last week.
Yeah, but I thought, you know, I like your Jared is undercover and they couldn't possibly have screwed him up this bad. He's got to be undercover. Like, your theory last week kind of stuck with me, and that's when I thought, oh, if Jared's undercover, then this one who seems like Michaela's telling her everything, and she's so helpful to Michaela and never expresses any doubt, I thought, oh, maybe she's going to be the mole. I don't know. That's my theory.
I mean, it's possible.
After watching,
it's possible they could go two ways with it. But yeah, I mean, we know Jared definitely told them about the
bank,
the situation last. No, not the bank. When they went to the Exer's location, and they weren't there, we know that Jared. Because
he told them
tip about that.
Yes.
Yeah, because the brother.
But that could be part of ingratiating yourself, when people go undercover with drug gangs, like cops take drugs
exactly
while they're to prove that they're right. Like,
yeah, exactly. That's kind of what I really hope that he is, because you know his reasoning tonight when they questioned him, which I'm surprised it took them this long to vet him. And you know, and he was like, Michaela ruined my life. And I'm thinking, he's got to be undercover, because if he actually thinks that Michaela's the fault of his life situation in, he really is demented. And
he's like, I gave up everything for her, and she, he really, I mean, there's no, and then, I didn't really like the scene where he gets his hair cut, like, so now the Xers wear this, like, short, flat top haircut, which I'm like, wait, are they like white supremacists, or are they like that whole, like, I guess
no,
the haircut is supposed
bald
to symbolize his complete, the maybe bald, his complete like joining the gang is this haircut, right? I'm really liking your idea that he's got to be undercover because he just couldn't be this bad a character.
And
I'm clinging to it.
I give up.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I started thinking that Michaela's partner, who's just always so, like, the partner has her back all the time, never questions her, always. There was this one moment, you probably caught it, where Jared says, where's she going, where's Michaela going without you? He says to the partner.
Yeah.
And then Jared says, yeah, good luck with that. He's disparaging her in the. I mean, I can understand him being mad that she turned on him on the stand and threw him under the bus, right?
Right.
But he deserved it. He did break the law. He seems to have suffered no repercussions really from it.
But that's the
thing. I
could
see him being mad at her for that, but
that scene, though, I think is actually very telling, because for somebody that is, you know, with the Xers now and Michaela ruined his life and everything, and you know, I don't know who that is that came back from the play, you know, that whole spiel he gave them. I think it's almost obvious now to the viewers that he's undercover, because he was jovial about it, actually, when he talked to the new partner. He was like, yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
It wasn't in a sneer. It wasn't in a nasty way or anything. It was kind of joking, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he even had a little and he had a little smirk, and it was a playful smirk, not a sinister smirk, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's just, that's got to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I also think, like Mikhail's partner, she sort of parallels like Fonvi being stupid about her psychiatrist and like totally trusting the psychiatrist, like Sanvi, don't tell anyone anything.
Yeah.
And then Sanvi tells the psychiatrist everything. And of course she's the mole, and Mikhail like being so trusting of this person.
Yeah, you know what, though?
Like she, what?
I mean, you know, part of me hopes you're right in some way, shape or form, because that would give more to the story, because honestly, I think they just gave the writing on this show is not the greatest. As we talk about week to week. I feel like this character is just somebody they gave to Mikayla, and they're like, all right, just write this person to go along with everything Mikayla does, because right now in the story, we can't have any animosity from Mikayla. You know, she needs to do what she needs to do so we can get on with the story. So her partner is just going to be there to basically back her up and agree with everything. That's what it feels like.
Well, okay, but there's only three people the mole could be. There's only three characters, so in the police station, it's got to be Jared, or the partner whose name I can't remember, or the captain. Like they're the only three
right.
speaking roles in the police station, and I don't think it's the captain.
Well, no, it's
the
Jared.
Captain,
I mean, I think it's obvious that it's Jared.
That Jared's the mole.
The only mole situation we've had was last week's episode. Unless
so Jared's the mole, but he's undercover. I'm speculating there's a separate mole from Jared.
Gotcha.
Jared's the mole, but he's undercover.
Gotcha.
I'm speculating like a real mole, not Jared the undercover. I'm
so
speculating
like
a more dangerous mole.
So it might go where they find out, you know, Mikayla finds out that Jared's undercover, and they wrap up this faction, but there's one on faction of these Xers. And so just as they think, oh, good, there's no more mole problem because Jared was undercover and we got the bad guys, then they're going to find out, oh, shit, there's still a mole type of situation.
Yeah.
Like
Jared
that
was
works.
Never the mole
works.
Because there's really a mole.
Gotcha. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that idea. Because it would give her more to do than just following Mikayla around and going, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Then she would have some sort of, point.
Yeah.
So we'll see where that goes. So your favorite character, how'd you feel about your favorite character? Your most hated character before Jared.
Oh, you mean Grace?
Boy, is there no level that she won't sink to?
Grace,
man.
I get where she's coming from. Worrying about her baby and everything that's going on with the 828ers and the Xers and everything. But, wow. I mean, I actually said that out loud as we're watching this. When Ben got up and, like, walked away from her, I just sat there with my jaw on the floor. And then finally managed to say, wow.
Yeah.
Like, I get where she's coming from, but that is just, like,
well, that's kind of how her husband Ben reacted. Ben was like,
"Yeah,
wow."
And not only Ben, but could you imagine her coming up? You know, hey, Danny, I know we're over and I'm moving out with my husband and everything, but could you do us a little favor and say that my child is yours, just so the extras leave me alone? I mean,
and she says to Ben, "Oh, I'm sure Danny will go along with it. I'm sure Danny will go along with
right.
it. Yeah, because it."
But you know what? He would. Danny is the type of guy that would be like, well, yeah, I'll do it. But how do you do that? How do you justify doing that to somebody?
Well,
that
and
was,
it maybe
just,
still could be.
Ugh.
Yeah. And yeah, to do that to him would be to like flaunt it in his face. Well, first of all, it maybe still could be his baby, right? Like they never had a DNA test, right? Or did I forget that
see,
part?
I think so. No,
didn't Ben just
exactly,
say
they
it's.
Never,
it,
yeah,
they just said it's our baby
DNA
no
test.
Matter what. I don't care. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so there's a giant risk that Danny could like do some math and be like, wait, I want a DNA test. It could be my baby, right? Second of all, even if he doesn't,
yeah.
it's like totally flaunting in Danny's face, like, oh, I'm back
oh,
with
yeah.
my husband and I dumped you. I was gonna marry you, but I dumped you. But by the way, could you do me this big favor and pretend that like and not just pretend, but, like, do a magazine interview saying that it's your baby, right? Or is the point that Grace is going to tell the reporter, look, I can't do the interview. It's not an 828 baby. It's my boyfriend's baby.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah.
Of course,
that's,
they could also just tell the magazine. Yeah. Yeah.
Or yes, exactly. You can tell that
Grace is the worst.
Go screw yourself.
Yeah, Grace is that is a new low. It's really disgusting to do that, and you know Danny's going to go along with it because, first of all, it's Daniel. What's his name? The actor. Isn't it also Daniel Sujata, right?
Daniel Sujata. Yeah, Sujata.
Like they still got a pretty, you know, familiar face to do it. So
right.
I expect him to be recurring. He'll probably go along with it. It probably will turn out to be his baby. Oh no, it can't be because she's had calling. So it's been
yeah.
baby because she's had, right? Or they
you
think it's
though?
Been baby.
I feel like just because she got the calling and this whole it's Ben's baby because of it type thing, I don't know. I feel like
yeah.
there's a twist in there somewhere.
Yeah.
That's
maybe just from
two steps.
Yeah. Yes.
So
it is.
Going away from stupid that type so from one stupid to another, the stupidest character on the show. What did you think of your buddy Sonnery this week?
Oh my god, she is the stupidest PhD I've ever seen. Oh my god. She is so, like, she gets dumber and dumber every week, right? I mean, she hasn't learned anything. So she's testing the drugs on herself. She almost dies. It's only a calling.
And it doesn't
like, end. Ben gets a calling to save her. Goes and saves her. Actually, Ben and, like, kind of Grace both had the calling, right? He saves her, and then she does it again, and she's like, basically expecting to die. Like, she's leaving a tape like, man, if you find this, I just had to do it. So she's not even expecting it to be successful. Oh, my God. She's the worst. She's the most unethical, horrible. Like, there's so many reasons why you can't test on yourself. Not only because you don't know what will happen, but, like, there's no one to evaluate. Like, there's no one to evaluate. If she dies, who can even run a test to evaluate the results? Right? Like, is Ben going to run out of sequence her genome to figure it out? Like, there's no one to do the science once she's dead.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that Ben and Michaela and Zeke and Cal are making way better progress just by listening to the callings, right? Whereas Zombie, she doesn't seem to get callings anymore. She hasn't had a calling in a long time.
Until this week.
Until this week, right? It seems like she's not making anywhere near as much progress as everybody else is just by listening to the callings.
Well, actually, the person who makes the most progress doesn't even get callings.
Oh, yeah. Olive is the smartest person on the whole show. She's the best character on the whole show.
And she doesn't get callings.
I mean,
I'm not a shipper for any of this and everything. But I was so happy for Olive and TJ. It's about time.
Yeah, I've been a little. Yes, I've been feeling like TJ's not age appropriate for her, but it occurs to me that he could only just be a. So he appears to have. He knew Ben. When Ben became a professor, when Ben got a teaching job and TJ was in his class, they already knew each other from before, right? But is that only
right.
because of Ben, like, being an A tutor? Like, was he in Ben's class before?
Well, yeah.
No,
yeah,
because
No, they met because of the 828. TJ.
They met because of the 828, yeah.
Yep.
Was
yeah,
on the plane,
they're
and he was
couple,
in line.
Yeah, they're only.
Well,
only
now
maybe
they
two
are,
years
because.
Apart. Right,
because
now
he
are,
could
yeah.
be, like, only a freshman or sophomore in college, so he could be only 18 or 19, and
right.
all is, like, 16, right? So he
yeah.
could be, like, 18. They're not
yeah.
that far apart. Yeah. Yeah, I was
yeah.
glad that she – I was, first of all, glad to see her storyline go away from the church and for her to not be so much with the believers this week because that storyline's a little boring to me.
However,
yeah, I was happy for them.
I was a little disappointed in her conversation with Ben later on when she tells him, you know, about everything that her and TJ learned. And she's like, speaking to TJ, I'm going to meet him. Don't worry, I'm not going to the church. I kind of was expecting more of a, how dare you go and threaten Andre like that and forbid me to go there, you know?
She never brought that up. That Andre, Adrian,
yeah.
Right? Adrian.
Adrian.
He's like, you can't come in the church. Your dad said, forget it, and you're a minor, so you can't come in here. Which, whatever, was a little tenuous. But yeah, she never confronted. Well, I guess a 16-year-old girl could be just easily distracted by a boy and forget she's mad at her parents. They're very moody, 16-year-old girls, right?
Yeah, but not Olive. Not after the way she flipped
off
them last week.
Yeah. She did let that go pretty easily.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she and TJ made tremendous progress with this tarot card reader. I mean, they never met the reader, but the tarot card seemed to be... I mean, it was cute how TJ was like, oh, look, all the tarot cards really, you know, they were like,
yeah.
Oh, the tarot cards, like, basically were about those two getting together. But there's a lot more to those tarot cards, of course. The tarot cards seem to be a big, big clue that I mean,
it's happened before.
Olive is the best sleuth on the whole team. They should teach Olive how to, like, sequence the genome, and she could probably figure all that out also.
Probably.
I mean, that's why
they finally got away.
I said that's why it's never made any sense this season for them to be excluding Olive, because she proved a great investigator last year. And the few times her parents pay attention to her, she's like, "Oh, the Hogwarts symbol. Go to the club." Like she, it makes no sense for them to exclude her in this way. It's just because the writers
and
want it to happen.
Yeah, and then we have the Zeke story with the X, which
she could be a mole. She could be a mole also.
First of all,
she could.
Michaela looked ridiculous.
Oh my god!
Dressed up like that.
Dressed up as a—that's her version of like being a drug user, dealer, criminal person, right? What? What
was
she wearing?
It looked like I don't know. She got Cindy Lauper's wardrobe. It looked like she got the Cindy Lauper's wardrobe.
Yes. It was terrible.
That was
ridiculous. She did look ridiculous. Yeah. And of course,
the
like...
important part about
I was going to say, of course she was recognized. Like, you've been in the press for six months. Like, the world... According to this show, they've only been home for, like, what, less than a year now, right? And the world is obsessed with them being survivors of this plane crash. And you think you can go undercover with basically no disguise at all, right? Like... You could totally, she didn't do anything to, like, disguise her face at all, right? Didn't, like, wear a wig, didn't do anything to change her appearance.
Nope,
and then it's,
hat.
Like, shocking that, yeah, it's a hat, right? It was, like, an American's level of, it was not even an American's level of costume. And then, like, of course the guy's going to recognize you.
If she really wanted to fool them, what she should have done was put on glasses. That has always worked for Clark Kent.
Yes. I mean, I did like how she played it off a little bit where she got in a fight with Zeke, but, I mean...
Yeah.
This other guy is supposed to be running a criminal enterprise, a massive criminal drug-dealing enterprise, and, like, a couple getting in a fight, he's like, okay, whatever, it's fine. You don't... I believe you, you're not a cop, because you yelled at Zeke. What? Like, that guy's the worst drug dealer ever.
Well, you know, it was all about getting to the end moment of their little story, which I don't know. I feel like Zeke's ex, I want it to be that she set him up. Because she secretly still wants him back or something. You know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, she tells Michaela, she's like, we've tried to get clean before, but this is the first time I've ever seen him really, you know, I really believe he's actually doing it this time, and you're a big part of that. And then she's like, because with me, you know, Zeke always had, you know, he always had a backup plan. You know, he'd hide pills here or there. You know, of course, puts the thought in Michaela's head, and then she checks the first place she checks, the razor.
Yeah.
The first thing she checks, and there's two pills. And it's like, part of me is like, I really hope the girls set them up, because maybe it's me, they're doing a poor job of it, but Zeke doesn't seem like an addict to me.
No.
Like, he doesn't come off that way. Like, I mean, we only seen part of Zeke, but, you know, it's like he hasn't really used this entire time, you know?
No, and like
so
2 weeks
like,
ago,
we
the government shot. No, and the government shot him up with Haldol for like a week straight or whatever, and he didn't relapse.
That's right.
Right? Like, he's had no relapse or problems.
That's a really good point that I didn't even think about.
Yeah, I mean, he's had no.
The mysteries on this show are pretty good, but the writing from week to week is just, it's so uneven, and more times than not, it's just to get you from point A to point B, whether it makes sense or not, or is believable.
Yeah. I mean, they should have developed that a little more and maybe had Zeke tell a few little lies. You know how sometimes addicts will, you know, they'll lie even about inconsequential stuff, it seems like, and, you know, she has no reason not to trust Zeke, and yet we saw a scene where she totally didn't trust him over the word of a admitted, like, addict ex, you know, like, for her to even check. First of all, I don't know. It just so happens that he's got the, like, it's so obviously a setup. I think you're right that probably the ex-wife set it up to come between them. But Michaela has no reason to mistrust him. You're right. They haven't set it up at all that he appears to be struggling with addiction. In fact, he shows none of the selfish behaviors that addicts sometimes display because they're addicted. Right. Like he's a very, like he willingly goes to prison to where he can't get drugs, but except unless the government like wants to medicate you for a week. But, you know, he goes to prison to spare Michaela. Like, he doesn't behave like a, you're right. I wondered if the ex-wife, so you have a good point that maybe she just wants Zeke back, but I wonder if she could be, like, did the major put her up, is someone putting her up to it to come between Zeke and Michaela? And I don't think it's like a Jared situation. Like, the major or the government or, like, I was kind of surprised she left because I thought for her to be living with them would be a great way to get information and report to the major or to someone.
Well, that's the other thing.
So
about
for
her checking herself into a sober house, not like they're going to check up on her. So God knows where she actually is or could be.
Although, don't you think Zeke will immediately try to go and check on her? Oh, no, Zeke said,
no,
it's not my problem.
Said. Exactly.
Yeah. Which that made no sense because previously it was totally his problem that she had to come live with him and Michaela, right? And then like what? All of a sudden he's like, it's not my problem. I can't help her. But he totally was intending to help her when she moved in.
Right.
Yeah, I just felt like, oh, look, she got beaten up, but yet no one actually saw her get beaten. Like it just seemed to me like she, maybe she wants him back. Maybe she's trying
even
to break
before. Even before they went to the drug dealer guy, I suspected that, you know, I was suspicious of her. And actually, I was expecting when they went to the drug dealer guy and Zeke made the comment about beating up women, I was expecting him, the guy to be like, what are you talking about? We never laid a hand on her. You know?
Yeah.
But it didn't play out that way, obviously. But I was expecting
that.
But I felt like something wasn't right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. She's too new at getting clean to be happy for Zeke.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Yeah,
because, you know, especially, you know, anybody that's ever been in a situation or just knows anything about anything, you know, if you watch something on TV and it doesn't ring true to what you didn't know to be how things are, and you find, so you get suspicious, and then you find out it's just really bad writing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Like, I mean, I mean, so many people that we know have experienced, like, knowing someone who's had addiction. You know, I worked with a person who went through that. And, like, at, you know, it takes a while for stuff to come out. But Zeke should be able to spot in this woman, like, points where she's lying or points where it doesn't ring true or, you know, like, this idea that Zeke is just so good-hearted that, like, Zeke is becoming a one-note, good-hearted character, I feel, you know?
Yeah. Well, he's the polar opposite of Jared.
He is. He isn't. And I wonder, so this business of, like, Mikhail and Zeke are meant to be, I don't know about that. On some level, is she just, like, driven to Zeke because he's the opposite of Jared, who's the biggest jerk ever? I don't know.
I don't know. But anyway, the only other thing I want to say is this whole thing with the ash and being the crashed plane. Have you ever noticed that only the stars of the show get the collective callings?
I know, right? There was like 100 and some odd more, a couple hundred people on that plane, right?
Yeah, but only those five get the calling. One, two, three, four.
Right.
Four get the calling.
They get the most powerful, most collective calling. Like, other people have been having the death date calling, apparently. Or whoever is the mystery of the week gets a death day calling, right? But in general, like, we haven't seen... I think in season one, there were some other people who were getting callings or similar callings, but it's not happening anymore. And just the stars get this collective calling. Like, all the other people who are on that plane, you only see the four of them. They're not like, oh, the guy in 8A is saying, Sanvi, help me, right? You never see that. I mean, you did see the kid, but that calling was weird. That kid wasn't – for that kid to be in the plane was kind of weird. The kid this week who needed a kidney transplant. That was definitely like a season one calling where the callings were like, the callings used to be to help a person who wasn't even involved, right? Like,
yeah.
Michaela's like first five callings were straight up police cases.
Right. I'm curious. Like, I'm going to have to look into this and see if there's any women who are writers for the show. And if there are women who write for the show, I'm going to want to see if maybe they hate women themselves. Because
they're writing such terrible female characters.
We have Grace, and then this one this week where that's my husband's son. I'm not, you know, like really late. Like, and this guy is just like, it's okay. I just want to do stuff for him. And she's like, you don't need to do anything. Like she was until he's dying and he needs part of your liver. Oh yes, welcome. Like, really? Like,
handle
these things are just awful. I mean, yeah, is it a fucked up situation? Absolutely. But it's...
I can see a person's initial reaction is like, no, I don't want you involved. And the whole thing, you know, it moves so quickly over, like, 24 hours. Like, she goes from, like, no, this is my husband's son, to, like, okay, he can meet him, to, like, oh, I need his liver. Or his kidney or whatever, some more liver, need his liver, the next day. It all moved very quickly. And then you can be in his life. And the women, except for, I mean, whoever is the lead writer for all of it is fantastic.
But that's it.
But the rest of them, So they have this collective group calling about the plane crash. And it turns out that it's not snow, it's ash falling down, right?
Right.
And I don't know if you saw the promo for next week.
No, I didn't.
So by the way, the calling about the gargoyle at the school and the dean of the college is like an expert, and he and his wife, like, that just disappeared. That just hasn't
been
at least 3 weeks.
Well, we saw a professor last week when he met Jared.
Yeah. But we've never had that calling again.
That,
like, the gargoyle and the open her eyes calling has not happened anymore. It moved towards right? Like,
oh, no, it hasn't. But I think that's part of the overall, you know, the overall story of the extra storyline, you know, like I think all that'll come to at some point.
Okay.
I think Grace will meet up with her again and open her eyes.
I'll give you that, but why, like, the calling used to, like, I've never seen the calling kind of, like, give up or, like, be like, okay, let me take a moment and try something else. There's also the save her calling, which I continue to believe is not about the baby, right? Like, they, like, Grace and Ben think save her is about the baby, and we're, it's not. I'm sure it's not, right?
Well, Ben now thinks it, Ben thought it was about Olive at the end of last week, remember?
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, it's probably not about her either.
Wasn't doing any harm. Save her from the church.
Yeah.
That wasn't doing anything wrong.
Right. So in this calling, we see the plane has crashed, right? And there's ash everywhere. And then Adrian is standing off to the side looking very creepy and suspicious.
Yeah.
I
didn't get that part, but.
Did you see him or you just didn't think he was creepy?
No, I saw him. I just didn't understand why he was outside of the plane.
Oh, right. And I'm not sure if everyone else can see him or if he's looking in on, like, their calling, right? Like, Adrian's never had a shared calling with them before that we've seen. But he appeared to be, like, almost like an outside observer. Like, he was standing outside of the – I mean, the way it was shot in that
–
I mean, look, I can't trust the way they edit it. But it looked like he was standing sort of outside of the shot, almost like an observer.
That's how I looked at it, too. Yeah, that's how
right?
I saw it, too.
Like, is he almost like an observer or a spy on their calling? Like, he's able to, I don't know what that meant. But it certainly made him seem a little more suspicious. He's an observer, yeah. I mean, I've been, you know, kind of with you for weeks that I thought he's probably good and Ben's just being a jerk. He did look creepy and suspicious, but he may have some ability to, I don't know. It feels like this is moving towards we're still pretty early. This is only like episode 6. We're only like halfway through the season, but it feels like this is moving towards like a high point or some dramatic action is going to happen soon.
Honestly, I'm not sure where it's going.
Well, the promo for next week shows an explosion in the promo shows an explosion in a building.
I felt like it
was implied that it was the church, but I don't think so. I can't trust a promo. But the extras have put a bomb somewhere probably to blow up, right? By the way, poor man's Henry Gale was acting all creepy in the church again this week. That guy who got beaten up with his, like, bruised face, the new Henry Gale, he's like, Adrian, how can you kick her out of the church? And Adrian's like, whatever, her father says she can't come here, and, like, don't worry, there'll be another miracle, which I guess takes on, he actually said that, right, there'll be another miracle, which, given the calling, like, he seems to, I feel like maybe he's been having callings and just not telling anyone.
I'm not really sure.
I don't know. I mean, despite the fact that I hate almost every character on the show, I still kind of like the show. Like, I don't hate them enough to turn it off or stop watching it, right?
Well, that's what I was saying before. It's like, I like the story idea. It's just the writing.
Yeah. I think you said something really, like, I mean, you really nailed it when you said, like, it's just about getting from point A to point B by the end of the episode, and it doesn't matter if it doesn't, like, make sense or isn't, like, well-developed. They just need you
pretty much.
The end of the episode to see that, okay, in the next 40 minutes, Mikhail will become suspicious of Zeke.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So, all right.
All right.
I don't have
anything. No, I don't have anything else either. So I guess that's it, I guess, for...
All right.
That's all we have this week, right? So, all right.
So, same next week.
All right. Yes, nothing new is coming back, I think. We'll just maybe review Lock and Key and our two shows.
What do you got, Walking Dead in 2 weeks?
Yeah, the 23rd, I think The Walking Dead comes back. Yeah, so a week from Sunday.
All
not
right.
This week, the next week. All right.
Sounds
great.
Good. All right.
Well, thank you
talk
for
you
another
week.
Great week.
Have a good one.
All right.
You
all right,
too.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Good night.